Hello world, this is Dr. Kulmeet Kanlas. Thank you for joining this session. Today we'll be discussing one of the very important topic, which is essential tremors. The agenda today is that we should, at the end of our discussion, we should be able to understand what essential tremor is, what makes it worse, how important they are, what are the causes and symptoms, role of magnesium treatment, medications, role of genetics, and how we could differentiate it from Parkinson's disease, and the new improvements in the treatment, especially the newer non-invasive surgical treatments in treatment of essential tremors. First, let's understand what essential tremor is. Essential tremor is a tremor where when you try to do a meaningful or a purposeful activity, say for example, I'm holding a phone in my hand, but once your hand goes, and when I am normally, anybody can go and precisely pick up the thing, reading, writing. But once you have essential tremors, you have, when we're doing a meaningful this thing, your movements are not precise. You're shaking before the action is supposed to happen. And this interferes with your activities of daily living, like reading, eating, combing your hair, any kind of activity which has a meaningful and purpose. Before we understand any movement disorder, we must understand that the movement is a very intricate process. The information goes from our body through the electrical wires, which we call nerves. It goes through spinal cord and goes to the front part of the brain, which is the puppeteer in our body. Every part of our body, when it comes to the muscle and movement, is mapped there. There are certain big collection of neurons, which are part of our primitive brain, that modulates that ear, that puppeteer. And also we have a big part of our brain which is dedicated in the back, which is cerebellum, which controls the fineness of our movement and refines it so that they are precise, beautiful. So that's why you could walk, do through the narrow lines, you could do them. And those are the organ systems, your motor strip, your basal ganglia, there are other association areas, your cerebellum, they all modify based on the information they're getting through different sources in the body. And then they create an action which is very precise and it's very good for that. In essential tremor, we do not know why, we do not know where. This precise refinement of the movements doesn't happen. So there is, whenever there is an action, we are overshooting, undershooting the target. And that's the one which makes it so frustrating and it makes it so emotionally challenging that people tend to get very frustrated, anxious, depressed, to the point that they become socially isolated. I have a lot of patients with those conditions. Good part is this thing does not kill anybody. This does not interfere with your overall longevity of life. It definitely can affect your quality of life, your actions, but it does not affect longevity of life. Now, what are the things which can increase these tremors? As we discussed, remember, whenever there is intentionally movement, that movement needs to be refined. Anything which interferes with the refinement of that movement will make these tremors worse. Say for example, you're nervous, there is a part of the autonomic nervous system, the body, which is an overdrive. That will make your muscles more responsive and sensitive, and your tremors will increase. If you drink, it's a two-way street. Sometimes a little bit of alcohol will suppress this overshooting and can refine for a short period of time these movements. But if you drink too much, it will get worse. If you smoke nicotine, that will make your tremors worse. If you're consuming too much stimulants, most common stimulant is coffee, tea, that will make it worse. There are certain conditions, like if you have overacting thyroid, that will make this condition worse. There are certain medication which we call sympathomimetic, which most of the time we use for attention deficit disorder and sometimes in very severe depression. They can make these essential tremors worse. So point here is the things which makes this refinement of this part, that is to, if we interfere with or tinker with either through smoking, coffee, stimulation, medication, or if you have a thyroid problem, it will lead to this problem. Now, question always is, why this thing happened? Why people get it? We do not know yet. There is no definitive place which can be done. It has been deemed to be genetic, and there are three genes which has been isolated. And you will find people who have genetic predisposition, they will develop this disease at a younger age, in 40s. And they will have other family members who have essential tremors. But nobody's immune. Any of us can develop this essential tremors. So if you have those genes, you tend to develop this part in a younger age. But anybody in the middle age, in 45 and 50s, you could have this essential tremors. Most of the time, it involves your hand and arm. It can involve your neck. Technically, it could be any part of the body. It can involve your torso, leg muscles, anything. No muscle is immune, but primarily it hands in hands, arm, voice, and neck. So it's a very complicated, very difficult issue which we have. And it can kind of sometimes be very, very difficult how this thing is. So message is so far that it is a rhythmic motion. It is on volunteer action. Anything which affects the refinement of these movements can affect this movement. And then all the vices which we have, it's a very complicated relationship, but most of them will make the things worse. We talked about what are the things which make it worse. So far we highlighted smoking, excessive caffeine, extreme change in temperatures, emotional stress, certain medications, they all can do that part. Now, what are the medications which we use? What we are trying to do is, first of all, we need to understand, we do not know what is the reason is. So all the medications which we have, we use as a anecdotal evidence. Say, for example, if we give this medication to 100 people, if 50-60% of the people are having some relief, may not be complete relief, but some relief, we think we should use those medications. And there is two classes of medications which are very helpful in the treatment of essential tremors. It's beta blockers. Beta blockers are the medications which tend to decrease your sympathetic system so that you are not always in fight and flight mode. And we use the initial older beta blockers, which affects all parts of sympathetic system, which are propranolol. Those are the medications which we use in divided doses. These medications are intended to be taken every 8 hours, and they are very helpful. All beta blockers should help, but I believe the older one, like propranolol, they are more effective. then certain seizure medications, especially the primidone, they are also effective and helpful decreasing this. None of them will eliminate your tremors, but it makes it bearable. Now comes the point where there is a significant improvement in the treatment. As I said, let's revise before we understand the surgical options or surgical treatments. Remember, we discussed information going from your body, going to your through your nerves, going reaching your spinal cord, going up in the brain, and on the front part of the brain, motor strip, multiple association areas, then your basal ganglia or primitive brain, and also the cerebellum. They all kind of are helping to smooth out these movements. Now, with the newer techniques, there are in this part certain areas of the brain are overstimulated and certain are understimulated. That's what is creating the waviness or the part of the movement, the movements that you are overshooting. So now we could map all the parts of the brain, and we could, like, we all are familiar with the pacemaker. It's like adding a pacemaker in the brain in those movement area which are not synchronizing, they both are not firing. But with this, we put a wire with electrodes, and then the pacemaker device sits under the skin, and they could program it so that everything is synchronizing and doing, and a lot of people are get a very good result. It is definitely an invasive procedure. It's done by very special, highly specialized neurosurgeons. It's not something you should be taking lightly. But the good part is, dream brain stimulation is not a permanent, is not a, like a one-time deal. Because the pacemaker, they could adjust and dial and do that. And if the first time they don't get the right area, the procedure could be repeated. Second thing which is making a fundamental headway is the focused ultrasound surgeries, which we call gamma knife for ultrasound surgeries. In this technology also, we map the brain. We know which areas are overacting, underacting. And what we do is, you don't get any cut or bruise. With the ultrasound waves, they could map those precise areas, and they can significantly, they could make a scar on those areas which are overacting, especially in the part of the brain we call thalamus. And that leads to significant improvements. I have two patients who had instant relief. They got it done in Orlando. The gentleman couldn't even hold anything. But when he came in, probably over 45 minutes, and his wife showed me a picture, and he was drinking coffee. So it's a very, very magical when it works. But the good part is, it is so dramatic and so good. But the flip side is, because they are making a permanent scar, there is always a chances of, if there is a mapping error, and you may not get benefited, or the things may get worse. And then also, it's a one-time deal. This procedure cannot be repeated. It's not like putting deep brain stimulation where they have a pacemaker, they could dial and adjust from outside. But this one is definitely a very specific, precise. What I'm hoping is, with time, we will have better and better technologies will develop. They will get better at it. And then this will be for common use, and we will help and take care of that. But what are the things you could do in bearing medications, which I told you have a marginal benefits, and the side effects are too many? Also, there are few other medications like anti-seizure medications like gabapentin that helps, pregabalin, they also shown to help, and they have been able to help us in certain things. But they are not, again, like as anything, that till we could precisely know the genetic problem, precisely know exactly where we know what happens, we do not know why this thing happened. And that's where this whole catch lies. Till we know the why, developing treatment modalities targeting that why are very difficult, but we do have deep brain stimulation and also the gamma knife or the ultrasound surgeries now, which are very promising and very helping. But till then, what more we could do? Always start with the lifestyle. There is no reason any of us should be smoking. So quit smoking. Manage your stress. Balanced diet. Why diet is important? Because once this disease progresses, you are at a little bit higher risk to develop falls. If you have a good nutrition, your muscle mass is good, you will be able to prevent disability from falls and fractures, which possibly could be life-changing. So doing regular exercise, especially weight training and cardio both, that will help you significantly. Now let's talk about a role of magnesium. If you look at internet search or YouTube search, there are ton of science and pseudoscience videos like magnesium is being portrayed as like a panacea. That is not true. Magnesium aids in certain ways. If your doctor does a blood work and your kidney function is normal, I don't think you could take or consume magnesium in toxic doses, which will affect you. But most of the time, you will be able to get magnesium supplements. Again, as I said, so far we do not know. If people can get some benefit from magnesium supplement, I don't think there is any problem with taking those supplements. Key goal is proper nutrition, manage your stress, stop smoking, stop any kind of stimulant, whether it's a coffee, tea, this thing is. And we went over the causes and symptoms. We do not know the causes. We know certain families are more affected. We have discussed that it involves both hand, head, leg, and voice. But no muscle in the body is, you cannot have it. In certain patients, Botox, if they have very specific problem with specific muscles, we have few patients, they have a lot of tremors around their lips, and those can benefit from Botox injections. And they get significantly help, and they could carry out and take and navigate their life without any major troubles. Now comes in, what is the role of anti-anxiety medications and antidepressants? This disease, as I said, provoke a lot of emotional response. People become socially awkward. Many become socially isolated. And that is a major issue. We need to remain active. So your trial of benzodiazepines and also antidepressants have role in the management and treatment of this thing is. Now, next question which I want to take it is, because that also creates a lot of fear in the patients, what is the difference between Parkinson's disease tremors and essential tremors? Parkinson's disease, we know a little bit more but Parkinson's disease, but we know about essential tremors. At least we know the why. We know that the part of the brain where there is a neurotransmitter dopamine our brain makes, those areas are undergoing degeneration and the level of dopamine is going down. So it's very clear on that part of it is, and that leads to tremors. The difference between essential tremors and the Parkinson's tremors, because in Parkinson's disease, it is a rest tremors. Those tremors, in contrary to essential tremors, they are when you're resting, you are shaking. But if you have to grab a cup of water or you have to drink coffee or you have to comb your hair, tie your shoelaces. So long as there is intention, those movements gets, those tremors get better. See the difference. In essential tremors, intention makes it worse. But whereas in Parkinson's disease, intention makes it better and the tensions are only at rest because there is a chemical mechanism in this one part of it. And then the other we describe very classically in the Parkinson's disease, the pill rolling movements. They are just, they are like this thing. Essential tremors are just all over here. They are rhythmic but going all over. But in Parkinson's disease, they are very classic pill rolling movements which are happening because the book of getting involved. And also in Parkinson's disease, there are other components. In essential tremors, yes, it's disabling and very emotionally taxing, but you don't have, your muscles are still strong. They could perform any kind of activity if we could have them to work properly. There is no weakness in this thing. In Parkinson's disease, it's a very unique disease. Remember how we talk about whenever there is a movement, first is we need to have initiate to start the movement. Then that movement needs to happen and it got to be processed. In Parkinson's disease, which is a lot more bigger problem than essential tremor, your ability to start the movement is very difficult. You know you need to do this thing and you are contemplating and doing this part to do this thing. You have difficulty in initiating movements. Even when you initiate the movements, those movements are not smooth. So we call bradykinesia, that you're basically locked in, your level of activity keeps on going down as we go along. So that is the hallmark of Parkinson's disease, that in Parkinson's disease, you have difficulty in initiating movements and the movements are at rest. And if how you could do at home, try to grab something. If your movements are increasing and then chances are you have essential tremors and if you don't have other symptoms of Parkinson's disease. But I think you should talk to your physician and do not try to make yourself try to do at home without getting a proper diagnosis. I have been asked this question many times, is there any test which we need to do? See, the for both Parkinson and essential tremors, it is not a structured disorder, it's a functional disorder. We do not, for these specific diagnosis, you do not need any CAT scan of brain, MRI brain, but you should have a complete blood test to make sure or your chemistry is okay, your thyroid hormone is okay, but you do not need any specific radiological study for that. Your physician may choose to do these MRIs and CAT scan if he is considering certain other things to rule it out. So there is no specific test which we could do that. There is a lot of now genetic testing which is coming online and a lot of labs have been spending a lot of time on the genomics and precision medicine. But unfortunately, since we don't have a proper treatment other than deep brain stimulation and the gamma knife surgery or the ultrasound surgery, those techniques, as they get refined, I see more and more people going for surgical intervention rather than medication. But that's a natural history of any disease. We always start with the observation that we have this problem. Then we start observing what helps with the certain things. Then we also go through, we understand why, what, where it happened. And then we start medication, then the surgery. And then eventually we should be able to prevent a lot of stuff once we understand more. This is a common question, home remedies and daily activities in essential tremors. See, what you need to do is you need to learn how to manage your stress. It is an essential tremor. Once you become nervous and stressed out, these tremors will get worse. Now you are feeling miserable because this damn tremors are disabling. But on top of that, if you add anxiety and this thing, it will be a lot more worse. You need to avoid stimulants like caffeine and nicotine. physical therapy have some role to keep your muscle strength and also keep you coordinated. Then you need to ensure your home environment is safe. Whatever it takes, we need to continue to do that. Next part is now research. This problem is pretty common, more than what we give or we think. There are about 10 million people in the United States who have essential tremors, and they are significant and disabling this part of it is. So we will continue to improve and do the things and continue to improve. The research is ongoing and the research is helping a lot. So we will continue to do update you as we go along what is new going on in this field. But I of opinion so far, I think surgical intervention will take a lead, and the surgical interventions will improve the further treatment modalities. In conclusion, or what do we want, what message which I want to give? Message is, this essential tremor is a complex disease. We know it has a genetic predisposition. If you have a family member who have essential tremor, you have increased risk of developing it. But no one treatment is solution for all of them. Whether it's anti-seizure medications, beta blockers, gabapentin, pregabalin, or to help you to cope up and do whether anti-anxiety medication, antidepressant medication, they all have a role. But we all should consider what is needed. There is no specific medication which is approved or we know which will work in this disease. You must manage your lifestyle, avoid stimulation, remain active, do both cardio and weight training so that your body is prepared for any catastrophe, God forbid you fall or any other complications happen. Further, don't make this diagnosis at home. Always ask for medical help. There is no specific test which you need other than blood work for essential tremors. MRI, CAT scan have no definitive role just for this diagnosis. Your physician may opt to do that part. Magnesium role is very limited. But if your doctor tells you your kidney functions are normal, you could overdose yourself. So taking it in moderation will not hurt you. Further, essential tremor and Parkinson's disease, they are two separate entities. I went in detail for you to kind of assessment and understand the difference between Parkinson's disease tremors and essential tremors. I hope this session was helpful, and I request that please visit our YouTube channel, Kunlis MD, and the Facebook Live, our Facebook group, Shield Medical Group, and like us, subscribe us, follow us, because that will help us to continue to produce more data. Hopefully you will join me next week, same time, 1:30, with a different topic based on the polls which we get from our patients. And let's learn together, let's change our life, and join us trying to live the best version of what we can be. Thank you very much.